Now Turambar clung to the roots of the tree, stunned and well-nigh overcome. But he strove against himself, and drove himself on, and half-sliding and half-climbing, he came down to the river, and dared again the perilous crossing, crawling now on hands and feet, clinging, blinded with spray, until he came over at last, and climbed wearily up the cleft by which they had descended. Thus he came at length to the place of the dying dragon, and he looked on his stricken enemy without pity, and was glad. There now Glaurung lay, with jaws agape, but all his fires were burned out, and his evil eyes were closed. He was stretched out in his length, and had rolled upon one side, and the hilts of Gurthang stood in his belly. Then the heart of Turambar rose high within him, and though the dragon still breathed, he would recover his sword, which, if he prized it before, was now worth to him all the treasure of Nargothrond. True proved the words spoken at its forging, that nothing, great or small, should live that once it had bitten. Therefore, going up to his foe, he set foot upon his belly, and seizing the hilts of Gurthang, he put forth his strength to withdraw it. And he cried, in mockery of Glaurung's words, at Nargothrond, "Hail, worm of Morgoth! Well met again! Die now, and the darkness have you! Thus is Turin, son of Húrin, avenged!" Then he wrenched out the sword, and even as he did so, a spout of black blood followed it, and fell upon his hand, and his flesh was burned by the venom, so that he cried aloud at the pain. Thereat Glaurung stirred, and opened his baleful eyes, and looked upon Turambar with such malice that it seemed to him that he was smitten by an arrow, and for that, and for the anguish of his hand, he fell in a swoon, and lay as one dead beside the dragon, and his sword was beneath him.